From the headquarters of Swinnerton, this is the Modern Built Environment podcast, featuring exclusive interviews with world-class thought leaders, executives, and civic leaders committed to a better and more beautiful built environment. Established in 1888 and built on a foundation of integrity, trust, and collaboration, our history has prepared us for this moment. Possibility is limited only by our imagination. We know what tomorrow can bring because we've seen thousands of tomorrows and are prepared to shape what comes next. Pride of ownership, peace of mind. Our podcast is hosted by Tom DiOro of The Modern Architect at KZSU at Stanford University. Go to swinnerton.com/podcast.
For our guest today, please welcome Manny Gonzalez, architect and managing principal of KTGY in Los Angeles, California. During his more than 25 years of practice in design, land planning, and production of residential and mixed-use developments throughout the United States, including active adult and affordable multifamily communities, Manny's, of course, won numerous awards for his innovative designs. And, God, we can go on forever about all those awards, and we'll talk about that in just a second. You can find more of him about Manny and KTGY on the web at ktgy.com. Manny, really honored and excited to have you on the Modern Built.
Tom, it's nice to be here. Nice to talk to you again. It's kind of funny. Thanks for the introduction, but I think you can add another 10 years onto that experience now, unfortunately.
What? No, that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful
thing. It's been a wonderful career, and I've really enjoyed it. And you know, as you said, I've won a lot of design awards, and I've really been appreciative of the team that's worked with me to help me get there, because I don't do it on my own. It's usually the people that work with me that make me a success, make me look good. But I think now at this point in my career, my whole goal is just to make sure that I personally help our clients put out the best housing, the best homes, the best apartments, whatever it happens to be, and create great living experiences for their residents going forward. So that what we do is as good as we can do, and try to help elevate our business and our industry to make it even better. It keeps improving every year, but if I can keep pushing it forward, that's my goal for my last, whatever it is, half dozen years in this industry.
I'd like that you keep pushing it forward. Can you share a little bit about what that means to you, and why it even matters for you to just keep improving?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've been talking about universal design for a long time, and it's finally taking hold, but it's about having homes be easier for people to live in, or even apartment building. And now people are starting to get it, where you make lifestyle easy. And my favorite example is putting a light switch with a plug. There's usually a light switch on the wall somewhere in the hall or into the beginning of a bedroom, the opening of a bedroom. But if you put a plug in there, because you can have a duplex outlet that has a switch and a plug. So the switch works for the light, but the plug is where you plug your vacuum in. So you don't have to bend over every time to pull out or push in that plug. And most people will just rip the thing out of the wall anyway. But it makes it a little bit easier. It's just a little bit of a detail, but it's smart thinking, so the home works better. And then the industry as a whole started coming up with greater product that helps with universal design. There's grab bars that don't look like grab bars. They look like enhancements in a bath or shower. So we're getting better at that. And I think we're going to keep improving as long as the product suppliers keep helping us out with new products that look better and help people live easier. And it's all about wellness. Now today, wellness is a big thing with the WELL certification. But I don't want to slam wellness, but I think what you're going to find is that before too long, the WELL certification is going to be like the LEED certification. For a long time, LEED was a big thing. You had to have LEED certification. And now there's, I don't know, at least half a dozen other certifying groups. And here in California, if you comply with the building code, you're able to get LEED certification. It's just a matter of paying the fee, which a lot of builders don't want to do. But I think wellness, we're all catching on to wellness, and COVID kind of pushed us there. We were going that direction, but we got sped up a little bit in that direction. And so I think what you're going to see is that people are going to start using air filters, higher MERV ratings. You're going to use water quality sensors, and there's going to be, we've had low VOC paint forever, but it's all those things that really are going to help us live a healthier, longer life. And I hope that helps me. I'm doing a remodel in my house right now, and I'm hoping that I'm going to give myself the ability to live a healthier, longer life.
Yeah. Touch on that wellness and why, obviously now it's vital, but why it will be so much even in the future that it's like, that's a priority now.
Yeah. It's what people want. It's, you don't really realize it, but it's all the aspects. And I call it total wellness because it's financial stability, it's, you know, family, it's food. And so one of the things that I'm seeing now, especially in some of our 55 plus, the age qualified communities, is farm to table communities where there's actually a farm where they're growing crops that the residents can help with. You can't have the residents maintain it. You have to have outside people maintain it. But the residents can come in and help with the harvesting. If you help with the harvesting, you generally get what part of what you harvest. If you didn't, but you still want some, there's a farmer's market that they have, and you can go buy your produce at the farmer's market. But it just seems like it's a healthier thing. And you're exercising doing that farming, picking the crops, and then you're also eating healthier food that's fresh, and there's some sort of satisfaction to knowing that you've grown it. So there's a lot of great things that are contributing to that. And then actually in some of the age qualified communities, the cooking demonstrations are a big thing because people will teach you how to eat healthy, and fitness centers are always big. So I think as a country, we're starting to lean toward that a little bit more, where we want to be healthy and active and live longer. And I'll tell you, this is kind of an interesting story. It wasn't that long ago that I had my hip replaced. And it's amazing what medicine can do, because I was up walking without any assistance after 4 days, getting a total hip replacement. So, you know, it's unheard of what people can do today. So I think just staying healthy and living longer, and that's what we're going to find, is our population's going to be aging up and they're going to be healthier. I don't know how long ago it was that people would think that somebody that's 70 is old.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm getting close to that.
You know, what's your thought on this, Manny? You talked about crops as food. What about even landscaping? If you did the landscape that with edible vegetation, what's your thought on that?
You know, it's interesting. I think my favorite example, although I haven't been there yet, but I've seen pictures of it and talked to people about it, is Serenbee outside of Atlanta. And when you walk down the streets in Serenbee, they're berry bushes, and you can just pick them and eat them as you're walking. Rancho Mission Viejo has orange trees that are planted along the roadways, and you just go pick your oranges. So that's a wonderful thing to do if you have the budget to do it, but those guys do. And then it just kind of creates a feeling of, I don't know if it's kind of small town or neighborhood, but it really does help with the ambiance of the community that you're living in to have edible landscape. And I think that's a wonderful idea, Tom. And I think the people that can pull it off, I mean, the orange tree, it doesn't take much to maintain it. And you hope that people pick them before they fall. But, you know, it's not that big a deal. And it's pretty walking down a street and having berries growing. So, you know, anybody that's willing to do that is, I think, hitting a home run.
You know, we talked before, Manny, about, I've told you, it always seemed that you always designed from the inside out, meaning the person, the people first, not the building or what the type structure. Can you tell your audience today, you know, why it is important to start from the human perspective first?
Yeah, I think if you're doing a Gary Music Hall or something like that, you're designing from the outside in because it's the big picture and you're trying to be, you know, create some monument. If you're doing housing, it's really designing a home or an apartment or whatever for the user, the end user of that. So if you don't make that usable and you don't make it furnishable and you don't make it a comfortable place to live, then it doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. So I think first goal is to create a space that residents will enjoy living in, where families can function, where, you know, you can have your separate spaces. And today that's an important thing that we're finding after COVID, is that if you're going to be working from home or you're going to be homeschooling, to have places where you're not sitting on top of each other while you're doing Zoom meetings is critical. So we're starting to see some smaller rooms that, and you know, cubbies under a stair that are a little workstation. So trying to accommodate where the future's going. And I think, you know, there's another thing that COVID sped up for us is the alternate work conditions where people aren't going to be driving and aren't going to be going into an office every day. And we've lived with it for, what, a year and a half at least. And we've all seemed to survive for the most part, you know, in the building industry. Obviously, there's some flaws that have hit, like the labor shortage and the supply chain issues, which are really making an impact on stuff. I mean, I had to order up my appliances 6 months in advance just to make sure I had. In fact, I even heard there was an apartment builder, and I won't name the supplier, but the supplier, they were short 8 refrigerators trying to finish up and close their apartment building. And the supplier said, just go to Lowe's or Home Depot and buy 8 of them, because you'll get them faster than you would from us.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's, you know, when you see those pictures of all those ships sitting out off of the harbor, it impacts an awful lot of things.
So true. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment Podcast, powered by Swinerton. We're talking today with Manny Gonzalez, architect and principal at KTGY. For more information, you can visit their website at ktgy.com. Manny, on the topic of alt work conditions and housing, is that almost, do you think it's going to become standard, or I don't know, required is too much, but at least standard in new projects that they're going to have that consideration?
You know, I think you don't have to look much farther than what probably the biggest growing segment of housing is right now, and that's build to rent, where people are building houses, not a master plan community, but a large community of single family homes that are nowhere near the city center, but it's a rental property. So what you get is you rent your home and you get the yard, you get the kitchen, you get the 3 bedrooms without having to live in an urban environment and pay a higher rent. And it's just because people can telecommute. And I think there's certainly some industries where that's easier than others. And if you look in the tech industry, that's really easy for them to do in a lot of cases, because you're doing code and, you know, writing programs. There's still times in architecture where you want to have hands-on meetings, but that doesn't mean you need to be in the office 5 days a week to do that. So, and then I think the other thing that's happened is people have gotten used to being home with their kids, or being able to run your child to daycare and then come back home and not have to drive into the office. So I think it's here to stay. I think there's going to be modifications of it, but I think if you don't allow it, you're going to be losing staff. There's people that are just going to go somewhere else where they do allow it, because people have gotten too used to it.
What's your thought on that human element that now we're not able to, well, we can, but it's limited to just see each other face to face? How has that changed for you in architecture?
You know, I was just at a Urban Land Institute conference with my council, and it was the first time we'd gotten together in probably 2 years. And everybody was just so happy to see people again in person. Fortunately, the conference wouldn't allow you to come if you didn't prove vaccination. So we all felt pretty safe being there. But I think we'll get over it, you know, somehow allow people to get together. I hate to say it, but I think when we were all in our conference room, nobody wore a mask because we all knew we were vaccinated. But, you know, that there is that human touch that you want to have. You know, I think the one thing that has been missing is the mentorship for younger people, where if you're not there talking to somebody, showing them something, it's a lot harder to do on a Zoom meeting when you can't sketch something out or show them, you know, face to face. So that, I think, is probably one of the things that's missing the most. I also still think for an architect with a client, the initial concept, brainstorming, big picture stuff really still wants to happen in person. It doesn't work virtually. But I think once you're refining a plan and you're making changes to a floor plan or a unit plan or an art elevation, those things can all be done virtually. And the good part about that is it allows you to do work just about anywhere and get clients from anywhere, consultants from anywhere, designers, interior designers from anywhere. So you can put a team together, a virtual team, and they don't have to sit in the same room. And it does save travel time and expenses. And I think, I don't know about you, Tom, or other people in this business, but I've kind of enjoyed not getting on a plane three times a week. So I don't think that's going to happen again. I don't think people are going to pay you to come to a meeting for 1 hour, or pay for an airfare and rental car anymore. So we'll see where that goes. But I do believe that that human touch aspect has to be back in the business. It has to be a part of what we do. I think on the flip side, you've seen a lot of that human touch with parents being home with their kids, where there's a lot more connection. My son that has a two-year-old daughter, my granddaughter, and she's so attached to him because he's been working from home the whole time she's been born. So she just thinks dad's at home and is really clingy, which is nice. She's a sweet girl, but getting back to normal or something close to normal or whatever the new normal is probably something that would be welcomed by a lot of people. But I think we've seen a shift in how we come out of this and deal with it is going to be important. But I agree with you, Tom, that human touch is something that we all want. You want validation. You want to have mentorship. You want to feel like you're doing the right thing and have people congratulate you. Or if you're not doing what's right or you made an error, learn about it. And it's a lot easier to do in person. I think sending emails is probably the worst thing you can do because you can never hear the temper in somebody's voice, whether it's soft or, you know, harsh. But in person, you know whether they're really upset or whether they're just telling you, yeah, fix it this time. So
very cool. You're listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast powered by Swinerton. Our acknowledgement for Manny's show today is the Jimmy V Foundation. The Jimmy V Foundation for Cancer Research started in 1993 with a big dream to achieve victory over cancer. Since then, they've expanded into an organization that's awarded over $200 million in cancer research grants. It takes a lot of teamwork and dedication to move towards curing cancer, and the Jimmy V Foundation is an instrumental part of that. For more information, you can visit their site at v.org. Again, that's v.org. We're talking today with Manny Gonzalez, principal at KTGY. For more information on KTGY, you can visit their website at ktgy.com. The big picture, your thoughts on seeing things, not just in design, but in life, in a big picture way. Can you share a bit about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I've known of this company for a while, this firm, big. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but Bjork Ingels Group out of Copenhagen. And I was actually, my wife and I actually were on part of our trip last month in September. We went to Copenhagen and I made her schlep out with me to go look at some of Bjork Ingels work. And if there's anybody that comes up with a big picture, he's one that does it. And you can see that how it plays out in the design. He has one that's called Mountain House, and all it really did was tilted things up on an angle so it looks like a mountain. But everybody's got a great view. Everybody's got a patio. It's spectacular. And then that's Talat 8, and the building's in the shape of an 8, but that's the address of it. And it's really cool when he comes up with that one big move. It doesn't change what the building would do. It's still the same building, whether it was flat or not, but it gives the building a character that makes it absolutely different from everybody else. And I think we tend, if we just kind of get to be too cliche here in the US, where whatever we're doing, whatever the current thing is, if it's corrugated metal, if it's folded plates on the corner of a building, it just gets done over and over and over. And every building kind of looks the same. But I'll tell you, if you look at his work, every building is absolutely different. It's really, really quite interesting to see. So, and then I tell you another person, and this is not Well, it is kind of residential in some cases. But what Studio Gang does, what Jeannie Gang does, her buildings, one of my favorite buildings in the world is Aqua in Chicago that she did several years ago. And it was the tallest building until she built the next building, the tallest building by a woman. But just little movements, it's great. I did hear that there are some issues because it's the concrete floor that comes out and gets cold in the winter, and that concrete brings the cold into the unit, but they'll figure it out. But I think, you know, that doing something that where you have a big picture idea that isn't an expensive one and that isn't decoration, it's part of the building, but it just creates a different look to it and a different feel to it. And I think that's where we need to go as a profession. And I'm hoping we can encourage clients to do it, because obviously those Bjork Engels buildings, and you can't get a unit in his buildings. It's one of the most popular places in Copenhagen. And the same thing with Jeannie Gang's buildings, that, you know, they're really popular. So I think the more you can try to go that way and convince your clients that that's the way to go is going to help our industry and just make our skylines better looking.
Great. Manny, any closing thoughts that you can share with your audience or that we may not have touched on that you think is valuable?
Well, Tom, I want to thank you for one thing, and that's not making me go up to Stanford, because as a Cal grad, okay. It kind of hurt last time to go to the studio in Stanford. But
that's right.
But I'm always happy to talk with you. And I just hope that we can continue. It's interesting. If you go back and look at the work, even that KTGY did 25 years ago and where we are today, and it is so much better. And I hope that the industry, the architecture industry and the building industry in all phases keeps getting better and better, trying harder and harder, coming up with better solutions. We keep having issues that we have to get over. You know, it's the cost of materials today, supply chain and all those things. But we've had issues in the past, the snowy owl and tons of things have hit us over the years. Somehow we're resilient and keep going. And I want to just see our industry come out of this COVID thing, get back up, get moving forward and just creating better homes, better environments for life and people happy and healthy.
Manny, it's an honor and joy having you on the show today. Thank you very much.
Tom, absolutely. It's my pleasure and thanks for having me.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Modern Built Environment podcast powered by Swinerton. Find us online at swinerton.com/podcast. Our guest today has been Manny Gonzalez, architect and managing principal of KTGY in Los Angeles, California. We'll go, he's got a lot of accolades here. I'll be here for a while, but take a look at the site and see Manny. It's terrific. Again, thank you very much, Manny. You can find them on the web at ktgy.com. Join us again next time when we welcome another leading architect, engineer, builder, manufacturer, or civic leader committed to building a better and more beautiful built environment for healthier cities, communities, and lives. I'm Tom Duro. Thank you.
The Modern Built Environment podcast is recorded at the Swinerton headquarters and on location. The recording engineer is Stephen Blatton. The executive producer and host of the Modern Built Environment podcast is Tom DiOro. And we're all assisted by Mr. Eric Foster. This is the Modern Built Environment podcast by Swinerton.